So over these last several weeks, I guess even since before Christmas, we've been preaching, and this happens through the Holy Spirit, on the Gospels. And so Amanda and I were talking this week, and not because of our discussion, but because of, you know, what God showed me, we're going to take a change today, and we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So that can be where you put your bookmark if you want to. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14, and I think it's going to be particularly important since the bishop is going to be coming in a couple of weeks and doing confirmations as well. And so this scripture, this teaching that Paul gives us is always very important and relates to confirmation. So that's where we're going today. I guess I'll go ahead and take this thing off. Why not, huh? Put all this stuff. And from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. As some of you know, or probably all of you know, I am a Trekkie. I like Star Trek, the original series, you understand, not that other stuff. But people have kind of encouraged that along, you know, they give me different things and, you know, little Star Trek things. Father David just gave me a little Star Trek pin. And so that's real nice, you know, and I really enjoy it. But there's another movie that I like a lot, and it's been around a number of years, actually came out probably 20 years ago, called Galaxy Quest. And Galaxy Quest is a spoof of Star Trek, okay? It's a spoof and a honoring of Star Trek, shall we say. Starred Tim Allen, you know, and it's a comedy, very good. And it's different because there's this, basically the story is about this group of actors who are stuck in this typecasting because they were on this TV show about space years and years ago, and they can't seem to get away from it. Sound familiar? Okay, like Star Trek. And then all of a sudden, by a twist of fate, they find themselves in space and having to do the actual things that they were playing on TV years ago. And of course, they have no idea what they're doing. They're actors, you know, they're not spacemen. And so they it's one of the things they have to do. They're putting together this plan. And Captain says, you know, okay, so how are we going to know when you're ready? And the other one says, I know, I'll do this. Call, 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 you know. And all of a sudden, that's when he says, what are you, an infant? We have these. You don't need to do that. Ooh, yeah. Communicator. Neat, huh? Pretty cool. It works and everything, sort of. But that's what this scripture that I just read to you. Oh, excuse me. No, I think it's okay right now. All right. Okay, that was fun. That the scripture that I just read to you from 1 Corinthians 14:20 made me think of that line out of that movie, you know, about, what are you, an infant? We have these things, you know. He was thinking, that guy was thinking like an infant instead of thinking like an adult, you know, car, car. But, you know, we have these advanced communication technology things right here in our pockets. And so it put in mind the idea of what Paul is talking about, of things like tools that we can use and all sorts of things like that. And so, you know, it made me think, okay, what is Paul talking about in verse 20? Well, he's saying that in regard to evil, bad things, be infants, be, in other words, like children, or in other words, be like infants who have no knowledge of evil, right? Because, you know, wait, a little baby infant doesn't know anything about being evil. And in your thinking, be as adults. In other words, be mature. Okay? And Paul goes through that quite a lot. In fact, these, you know, three chapters of 1 Corinthians here, 12, 13, and 14, which you've actually been hearing over the last few weeks, are excellent teaching about, obviously, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they relate very specifically to a charismatic church, one that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the continuing use. And Paul is continuing those teachings here in chapter 14, and he's talking really less about the gifts themselves, but about the motivation behind their use. Okay? He's telling us not to be infants in our thinking, but to be mature, as I said. A lot of people, you know, hear the scripture that we just read there in 1 Corinthians 14 and think that he's putting down tongues and telling everybody that they need to prophesy. And it's less about that as opposed to how to use the gifts and why to use the gifts. Okay? And so that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit. You know, Paul has been very frequently talked about Christians maturing in their faith. And he talks about that argument in other places, like in chapter 3 here, he says, I gave you milk, not solid food, but you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready, talking about the Corinthian Christians as being infants, basically. And the author of Hebrews uses this as well. He says, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Okay? See, Paul knows that these Corinthians that he's writing to, and by extension, all the rest of us, are eager to have the gifts of the Spirit, okay? But he's concerned about their motivation. In their case, it's somewhat selfish. Is it selfish or selfless that you want to excel in the gifts? So while he's using prophecy and tongues as his examples, he doesn't mean he's putting down one and exalting the other necessarily. So if you come into the church and you hear some of us speaking in tongues, it's not a bad thing. You see what I'm saying? Now, if we back up in 1 Corinthians in verse 12 there in chapter 14, he says, so it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. See, again, many of them wanted tongues to show off or to improve their status. You see what I mean? To show that they were very spiritual. Tongues is for your own edification, is what he talks about. It's to build you up personally and for your own prayer life. And it really does do that for you. But he talks about excelling in those that edify the church. This is where he puts his emphasis, right? What is it to edify? Well, some versions of the scripture will tell you it is to build up the church. They'll say that. And the original Greek word translates in the ways to like this, to found or to establish, to build as in a house, to restore or repair, to promote growth. These are all the ways that the translations for edify, so that you understand it a little bit better. And you know, this is used in different places, like, for instance, in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Same word there used as in this, to build up the church. Okay. Also use Matthew 16. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. Very important usages, okay? This house built on a rock and building up the church. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about excelling in these gifts. Gifts that build up each other in the church. You see, to think like an infant would be to think of the spiritual gifts as, say, picking up a hammer. Or using a cordless drill and making something out of it, you know? It's just a tool, right? I mean, I can do whatever I want with it. But the spiritual gift is not a hammer or a cordless drill or a communicator or a communications device. It's the Holy Spirit using you to edify or to build up others in the church. You see, the gift is not the tool. You are. You're the tool in God's hand. And the gift is there to help you be useful in the church. Now, this is especially important for you, like I said, if you're being confirmed coming up by the bishop. And I really encourage you to do that. I mean, I know it's only been 2 years since we've been able to have him here, but make every effort to be there and to be confirmed, because it's incredibly important. And part of the reasons I'm talking about are why. You know, confirmation is one of the times that spiritual gifts are imparted to people. I mean, the apostle is coming. The apostle will be here. The bishop is the apostle. And he will be laying hands on each of you in your head and praying for the release of the Holy Spirit and power in your life. Part of that is often the receiving of spiritual gifts. A few weeks ago, Father Bill led us in asking for new gifts or a strengthening or a release of the same spiritual gifts that you've had before. And we've seen some examples of that occurring as well, too. And we don't want to stop doing that. We want to continue to ask. We want to keep on moving forward with that. And those newly confirmed in the church will also be given new gifts to build up the church and to build up each other. And when I say, yeah, the church, I do mean this little parish here, but also I mean the larger church as well, the world out there. I mentioned to you that to edify means to build up or to found or to establish something. And, you know, this church was founded and established by a few people, and it was built on a strong foundation, and that's why we're still here. And there are still people coming to it. So, you know, you may be called to start a ministry, to found a ministry as well at some point, to establish a new thing. And you see, God places these desires in your heart. Sometimes, oftentimes, he does that before anything else happens. The desire comes into you first. You know, early on when we were in the CEC, this was before I was a priest. You know, hard to imagine. There's a time. I have trouble remembering. No, but I had a desire to share Jesus with people in a setting of the wilderness outdoors. You know, I wanted to go backpacking, take a group of people backpacking, you know, and we'd spend our evenings around the fire praising God and, you know, talking about the scriptures. I put out a brochure because that's what you had to do back in those days, you understand. And, you know, I advertised it in CEC publications like the Sursum Corda, and we did those things like that. I set a date for a 5-day trip, you know, we were going to hike the Art Globe Trail from Brevard over to, Benjamin Boone Scout camp. And no one signed up. So I did it alone. Well, I wasn't really alone. I took the dog with me. And we had a really good time. It was nice. But, you know, the dog's not much good at talking about the scripture, I'll tell you what.
Did the dog accept Christ?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was very close now. it was an interesting time because, like, almost on the next to the last day, I got bitten by a copperhead, which was fun. But it didn't get any venom, so that was the good thing. So it was, you know, an interesting time, but that's an aside, nothing to do with this. You see, but while my desire and my heart was there, I had this in my heart, my mind, it obviously wasn't God's time. You know, it wasn't what the church needed. It wasn't the thing that was needed to build up the church at the time. And sometimes, see, when we get a calling like that or a desire in your heart, you have to test it a little bit. You have to try it out, perhaps. And it may move forward or it may not, like in that case. But you know what? There are going to be other times and other desires and other callings. And certainly there have been in my life as well, too. And so we have to test that. I mean, this may be something that happens for you. Not necessarily just if you're going to be confirmed, but for any of you. God can do a new thing at all times in your lives. Now we know that to edify the church is also to build it up, as in building a house, you know. Someone may have already established this foundation, this work of the Lord, it's already there, but you may be called to be the one to build on it, okay? And this does happen in ministries all the time, you know, for new ideas and new visions that come into it. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. That's what we heard today in Jeremiah, first chapter, was that his calling as a prophet. Well, he wasn't the first prophet ever to live, but his work was certainly unique to him. And the founders can also be builders as well, too. You know, once established, they continue to grow the ministry and according to God's words. Moses was a founder. You know, he was, I guess you'd call it a movement, sort of. I mean, yes, he was called to found a movement among the Israelites. It was a deliverance. And, you know, after that, after God led him to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, then he continued to build it. He had to lead them for 40 years in the wilderness. He led them out of bondage, and then he showed God's plan for how their lives were supposed to be carried out with the law. Edify is also to restore or to repair. You know, sometimes the builders or founders, they have to repair things as well, too. Like having your own house, right? You know, things get to get repaired, let me tell you. The ravages of spiritual warfare cause damage. And so reparation has to happen sometimes. And that's part of what those edifying gifts can do as well, too. If you don't believe that spiritual warfare happens, you've heard the gospel for today. Jesus had pushback right there in Nazareth in his own hometown. At the very beginning of his ministry. And so do we get pushback from the world, from the enemy, from those things that are evil, which we are innocent of, right? Applying is also to promote growth. And this is a little bit different than building things, okay? This is to help open new doors for other people to grow in the Lord, okay? And it could be within the framework of an established ministry, perhaps. In His Steps, Dance Ministry, I believe, is an excellent example of this. God used Amanda's love for dance to open a place where other people could grow in the Lord, in their personal relationships through dance. And I'm sure you can think of many, many other examples as well, just in this church. You see, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are there to help you do these things. It's less about how you use a cordless drill or a communicator, but why you use it. This is the point of what Paul is talking about here in this letter to the Corinthians, chapter 14. You see, as a Christian, you get to use some great tools. I mean, some really cool stuff is out there. I mean, things like prophecy, right? Healing, tongues, words of knowledge, miracles, administration and teaching, incredible and miraculous things. And you get to use them. But the thing to remember is that they are not the tools. You are the tool in the potter's hand. You are the clay in the potter's hand. You are the fabulous piece of art that the master artist is creating called the kingdom of God. You are used by God. And we're all mature Christians here. We understand the use of God's gift, I know. And we know that at the heart of each of these gifts and all of this ministry is what he's been talking about in the last couple chapters, love. This is the motivation for using the gifts, for being used by God, for being the tool that God wants you to be. Paul makes that very clear throughout all these chapters. He says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. See, brothers and sisters, there are gifts that are out here that the Spirit has given to each of us and that the Spirit gives freely, and especially in a time of confirmation, that can build up the church, that can allow you to be incredibly useful to God. And it's a basis, the very basis of that for us to be able to receive those things is that we must love each other. Only what Jesus told us to do is to love each other. So to love each other, to have a willingness to be used by God, to be open to incredible spiritual gifts that you may have never experienced before and may not really understand. But through your personal relationship with Jesus, you can be used by God as a tool. And if we will love, then God can use us. Amen.